Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Renice tree bear amuktanam. Amimam sita karmanam. Vighata shreyasa papa. Lokayor ubayo kritaha. Renice tree bear amuktanam. Amimam sita karmanam. Vigahatta shreyasa papa. Lokayor ubayo kritaha. Renice tree bear amuktanam. Amimam sita karmanam. Vigatha shreyasa papa. Lokayor ubayo kritaha. Please chant. Ladies. Renice from the depths, Tribihi, three, Amuktanam, a person's not freed, Amimam Sita, not considering, Karmanam, the path of duty. In other words, keep your nose to the grindstone. This is Daksha's. Whatever you do, keep your nose to the grindstone. Just don't wander around and chant Hare Krishna. What a waste of time that is. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Okay. Vighata. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, sorry. Vighata. Ruin. Shreyasaha. Of the path of good fortune. Papa. Almost sinful. Narada Muni. Almost sinful, Narada Muni. Lokayoho of the worlds, ubayoho, both, kritaha, done. Yanisha sarvabhutanam, yasyam jagrati, yasyam jagrati. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasya jagrati bhutani yanisha pasyato mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is the time of awakening? What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Okay, sorry. Let's get into the translation, and you'll see why I quoted that verse. Translation, Prajapati Daksha said, translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, glories unto you. Translation, Prajapati Daksha said, my sons were not at all freed from their three debts. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narada Muni, O personality of sinful actions, you have obstructed their progress towards good fortune in this world and the next, because they are still indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods, and their father. Purport. As soon as a brahmana takes birth, he assumes three kinds of debts. Debts to the great saints, debts to the demigods, and debts to his father. The son of a brahmana must undergo celibacy, brahmachari, to clear his debts to the saintly persons. He must perform ritualistic ceremonies to clear his debts to the demigods. And he must beget children to become free from his debts to his father. Prajapati Daksha argued that although the renounced order is recommended for liberation, one cannot attain liberation unless he fulfills his obligations to the demigods, the saints, and his father. Since Daksha's sons had not liberated themselves from these three debts, how could Narada Muni have led them to the renounced order of life? Apparently, Prajapati Daksha did not know the final decisions of the Shastra, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Darvashi bhutapta nrinam pritrinam na kinkaro nayam vrinicharajan sarvatmanaya saranam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. Everyone is indebted to the demigods, to living entities in general, to his family, to the pitas, and so on. But if one fully surrenders to Krishna, Mukunda, who can give one liberation, even if one performs no yajnas, one is freed from all debts. Even if one does not repay his debts, he is freed from all debts if he renounces the material world for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet are the shelter of everyone. This is the verdict of the Shastra. Therefore, Narada Muni was completely right in instructing the sons of Prajapati Daksha to renounce this material world immediately and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, the father of the Haryashvas and the Shalvalashvas, did not understand the great service rendered by Narada Muni. Therefore, Daksha addressed him as Papa, the personality of sinful activities, and Asadhu, a non-saintly person. Since Narada Muni was a great saint and a Vaishnava, he tolerated all such accusations from Prajapati Daksha. He merely performed his duty as a Vaishnava by delivering all the sons of Prajapati Daksha, enabling them to return home back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Saguru sapita chapi samato bandavo pisan shikshas yet chet sadashmar tum harinam keva eva kevalam. That person is a true guru. That person is a true father. That person is a real mother. And that person is a good friend only if they constantly teach one to always remember that the holy name of Lord Sri Aliyah alone is everything. So, duties. You got to excuse me, I didn't get a chance to prepare for this class. I'm going to try my best. Okay. So, duties. We come in this world, the world is already here. It's filled with people. Some of those people happen to be our mother and father. Some of them are our sisters and brothers. Some of them are our friends. Some of them are our teachers. And some of them are just the people in general. Certainly, we have a duty to our society, to our country, the place of our birth. Some kind of duty. And this is the point that Daksha is trying to make. Anate vidu swartha katim hi Vishnu. They do not know. Anate vidu, they're ignorant. Vidu, they do not know. Swartha katim, that the highest benefit, the highest goal is he certainly, the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Swartha katim hi Vishnu. Nate vidu swartha katim hi Vishnu. Durashaya. Durashaya means they take the hard path. Dur means hard. Kitna dur. How far is it? Dur, Durga. Huh? The hard going. This world is called Durga, hard going. And that's true. So Durashaya, they take the hard path. What hard path? The hard path of materialistic, fruitive activities. And part of those, that hard path is the meeting of the obligations of your society, friendship, love, nation. So durasaye, and then bahir artha. Bahir means outside. Outside. They think that their highest duty is to everything outside. Bahir means artha. Their highest good is outside. Yo nata suko nata aramas tatanter jyotir evaya sa yogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto digashyati. He whose happiness is within, who is active, he rejoices within, who his aim is inward, he is the mystic yogi. He is liberated in the supreme and ultimately obtains the supreme. But they think, these people who do not know that the ultimate goal is Lord Vishnu, they think that all their duties are outside, not inside. So nate vidu swarta kadim hi Vishnu durasaya ye bahir artha maninaha. Anda, they're blind. Anda yatandaye. Upaniyamanas, they're instructed by other blind men. Te pisha tantrayam, urudamni, and then they're bound Urudami, Badaha. Badaha is a nice, easy Sanskrit word to remember because it has the word bad in it. B-A-D-D-A-H-A. Badaha. So you just say, oh, the bad thing. Bad means bound. So they're bound because they're looking outside. So persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of wanting to enjoy materialistic life in this material world, and therefore they accept as their leader or guru another similar blind man who is attached to external sense objects. Bayas parsheshvashak tatman vindat yatmani yat sukam. Sa yogi, there he is, the yogi, the sage. Sa yogi brahma nirvanam sukam akshayam ashnute. How do you know what a self-realized person is? This is a very good test for who is self-realized. A self-realized man, this is Krishna speaking, so if you want to know who is self-realized man, now I'm going to tell you who Krishna says is a self-realized man. A self-realized man is never, the word is never, attracted to outside sense gratification. Instead, he is always in trance. He is enjoying a pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul, he enjoys unlimited happiness because he's concentrating inside on the Supreme. You see, samsparshaja bogadukka yonaya evate ajanta vantakunteya natesha ramate buddha. An intelligent person, a sage, a wise man, he is never attracted to external sense objects and external pleasures because these things, they have a beginning and an end. That's the fault. And therefore, a real wise man, he does not delight in them. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end. And so the wise man, he does not delight in them. It's a very interesting verse because he says, Yahi samsparsha joba dukkha yonaya eva dukkha, the source of sadness. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, he calls it. And then the very next word, this is very interesting. Now listen carefully. He says, an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. And in the very next line, Krishna says, such pleasures. Could you make it a little clearer for us, Lord Krishna? Are they sources of misery or are they pleasures? What do you think? Sources of misery, but such pleasures, they have a beginning and an end. And so the wise man, he knows, I'm staying away from that. Because that has a beginning and an end. This is a sage. This is what Narada Muni is driving at. This is a sage. Has a beginning and an end. A sage doesn't get entangled in things that have a beginning and an end. He gets himself entangled like a bee in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He gets himself entangled in that which is eternal. Na sato vijite bhavo na bhavo vijite sataha ubayor api drishno dadas twanayos tatva darshinaha. Those who are seers of the truth, they have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, or anything that is made out of matter, there is never any endurance. And of the soul, of things that are spiritual, there is never any change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Shaktoni haiva yashodum. Prak shariram vimokshana kamakrodo bhavambe vegam. Sasuki sayuktaha sasuki suki naraha. He is the happy man. Who's the happy man? The one who gets everything he wants? The one. That's the happy man. Shaktoti haiva yad. Before giving up the present material body, if one is able to control the forces of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and he is the happy man in this material world. So going back to the original verse I was quoting, so they're blind men. The blind men accepting other blind men because they're attracted to eternal external sense objects. So persons who are entrapped by the consciousness of wanting to enjoy materialistic life, and who therefore accept as their leader or their guru a similar blind man who is attached to external sense objects. They cannot understand. They cannot understand. They are blocked from seeing. They're blocked from perceiving. They cannot understand that the ultimate goal of life is to give up this materialistic way of life and then engage wholeheartedly in the service of Lord Vishnu. As a blind man is led by another blind man from the right path and into a ditch, so materially attached men, they are led by other materially attached men, and then they become bound up with the strong ropes of fruitive activities. Let me get ahead in this material world. Let me get ahead in this material world. You don't have to get anything. The only thing you have to do is you have to realize what you are. That's a different endeavor. So they're bound up by the strong ropes of fruitive activities, which have extremely strong cords. And thus they tarry in materialistic life, lifetime after lifetime, again and again, suffering the threefold miseries. I love, this is, if you know this verse, this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking directly to his father, Hiranyakashipu. Quite a, he wasn't afraid. With my glasses. Okay. So, text 37. We got 5 more minutes. So therefore, what is the real obligation? Prabhupada presents in this purport a two-tiered system of obligation. The first kind of obligation, if one is born a brahmana, he has debts to he's indebted to the great saints and the great sages who've come before him and who have left the Vedic literatures behind. So in order to liquidate that sin or that debt, he has to undergo celibacy, which is part of Krishna consciousness anyway, except for the procreation of children after chanting 50 rounds. Sex is forbidden in the Krishna conscious movement. I didn't know that. They didn't tell me when I got initiated. Okay? And so that's included in Krishna consciousness. So it automatically, by taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, and if you're really following, you liquidate the debts to the great sages. And then to clear the debts to the demigods, one must perform ritualistic ceremonies or yajnas. And if you become a member of the Hare Krishna movement, you clear that debt up by performing constant Sankirtan yajna. Hari Bol. So then you become cleared from the debts of the demigods. And then to clear the debt to the father, he must beget children. So that's very, very much welcomed and needed in the Hare Krishna movement. Each grihastha couple should have at least 10 children and raise them all as Hare Krishna devotees. Good luck. But that would be nice. Okay, at least 10. Okay? And raise them all as nice pukka devotees. If you do that, wow, what a service. Okay? And finally, the desire to beget children also becomes cleared up by making or introducing other people to devotional service and making other people devotees. We can say the new devotees who are coming into our Hare Krishna movement are our children. Of course, we don't treat them like that, but we should a little bit more. Okay, so simply by becoming a devotee of Krishna, then all these debts are already absolved. Okay? And then, besides these small debts, we have the big debt to the big guy in the sky. So that has to be also taken care of. So these are the debts that everyone has to take care of them. Sanja vadanam bhadramastu bhavato bhyo snana tubhyam mano bo devaha pitarascha tarpana vidau naham kashyamaha kashyamatam yatra kwapi nishada yarva kulotam sasya kamsa dvishaha shmaram shmaram agam harami tamalam anye kim anyena me. I'll end with this verse. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri, he sings this beautiful verse. Huh? He says, oh, my chanting of the Gayatri Mantra 3 times a day. Oh, it's somewhere under there. I have to search under the folds of fat, but there it is. So, we have to chant, oh, Gayatri Mantra, oh, please forgive me. I may or may not get to you. Sometimes I may fall into ecstasy. And so I may forget you. So, oh, my meticulous brahminical bathing 3 times a day. I offer my obeisances unto you. Oh, demigods. Oh, my pitas. Oh, my forefathers. Huh? Please forgive me because I may not get to offering you the proper respect that you think that you deserve. Because now, wherever I sit, I can simply think about and meditate constantly on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the great hero of the Yadu dynasty, the enemy of Kamsa. And thus, by so doing, I can free myself from all sinful reactions. I think that this is sufficient for me. Okay? I think that this is enough for me. We got debts and we got limited amount of time. The real debt is the real job. The real debt is to go back to Godhead. And if you're worried about your obligations to anyone else in this material world, okay, God bless you. Worry about him, and we have to worry about him. And I'm not saying we should be cavalierly irresponsible. Okay? That's not what I'm saying here, okay? So get that out of your mind. I'm saying we should be very responsible. Responsible to what? To getting out of this material world. And if we do that, we bring 20 generations backward and forward with us, okay? So take care of that obligation. And then you've taken care of all your obligations in this material world. Last verse. I'm sorry, I'm on a roll. I can't stop. We still got, we're doing good. I got 1 minute. I can get the verse on. Okay, here we go. Shmeiram bangi traya. Oh, this is such a great verse. Prabhupada quoted this often. Shmeiram bangi trayo parichita sachivishtirna drashtrim vamsi nyasta dara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govindakyam haritanum itta keshi tirto pakanthe na ma precious tavayadi tatra yadi sakhe bandhu sange stri rangaha. If you at all desire to be something like Daksha, and you wish, this is the innermost wish of your heart, then by all means, please. Okay? If you want to enjoy yourself with loving friends, if you want to surround yourself with aristocratic relatives, I belong to such and such family. Da, 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 da. If you want to sit around with your intimate family members, and especially for a lot of us, our intimate non-devotee family members, if this is your desire, then by all means, you should never go near that holy place that is known as Keshika on the bank of the Yamuna River in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And you should never look at the enchanting, beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Govinda. He stands there. He's slightly tilted in a threefold bending form. And his form is caressed, and it is illuminated by the soft moonshine. Don't go there, brothers and sisters. Because if you do, if you do, because he stands there and he throws sidelong loving glances out of the corners of his eyes. His kips, his ruby red lips that are red like a bimba flute, they kiss the holes of his flute. And his smile, it bewilders and it throws Cupid into a swoon. What's our chances? So if you go there and you look upon him, he will forcefully, against your will, and remember that, okay? He will forcefully, against your will, he will steal, he will capture, he will ravage the innermost core of your heart. Watch out. Okay, we'll stop there. Anyone has anything to say, any questions or any comments or criticism? Anyone who wants to leave can leave. Okay. Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I have one uncle who died with his mouth open and his eyes wide open. Obviously, he was seeing Yamaraj, the Yamadutas. And so this idea of 10 years before and after, prophets said different things. It's supposed to be accumulative. It's supposed to be those who are a pure devotee. Now, maybe you can enlighten us, because certainly my uncle was not in a good position. And so those who leave us before we leave may be in a tight spot.
Okay, I'll answer this, but I can't answer it according to Shastra. I can just answer it according to my understanding, my opinion. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm not really Shastrically so in tune to what happens to the relatives of devotees. I don't know, except that I know that Prahlad Maharaj is told by Lord Nrisingadev that 20 generations behind and forward are going to go back to Godhead. How it happens, I don't know. But there's one thing I want to say, is that Krishna's a fisherman. Okay? And he's got a bead on you. And he's a fisherman with a lot of time. Okay? Eternal time. And he actually knows he's eternal, he's an eternal being, so he's not in a hurry. Okay? He's not in a hurry. We should be in a hurry, because we're stuck here. That's a whole other thing. But he's not in a hurry. We see in the Bhagavatam, okay, another life. You'll take another life. You know, one more lifetime to him is nothing. Nothing. So what I want to say, when that... it's my understanding, or it's my opinion, when that... blessing is given that if you become a pure devotee, then 20 generations will go back to Godhead behind you, and 20 generations in front of you will go back to Godhead. It means that Krishna is a fisherman, and he's going to land them. Don't worry. He's got his bead on them. Okay? And it might not just mean that in this lifetime they're going to go back to Godhead, but he's going to draw them in. He's going to draw them in. He's going to bring them home. He's a fisherman. He's going to land them. Don't worry. Give them some time. That's my understanding. Just like we go to Radhakund. It says, anybody who bathes in Radhakund will attain love of Godhead in the wake of the gopis. I've bathed in Radhakund. Certainly, I don't have love of Godhead in the wake of the gopis. But the thing is, just now coming... Okay? If you got into Radhakund at some time in your life and took a respectful bath there, Krishna has his bead on you. Okay? He's got his line on you. He's going to land you. Don't worry. Time. That's my understanding. You have anything to say, Prabhu? Is that okay? Or... I'm not saying just because your uncle died, he's going to go back to Godhead in this lifetime, but you're a pure devotee. And I know you, Bhaktisiddhanta, you are a pure devotee. Whenever I think of Prabhupada's statements, that there's a statement by Srila Prabhupada that says, you'll be able to tell who's my disciple if he's a perfect gentleman. Something I fail at very miserably. Because we all know that I'm not a perfect gentleman. But when I think of a perfect gentleman, the guy I think of is Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu. He's like a perfect gentleman. He really is. If you know anything about him, he's mild. He's respectful. I always admire you for that. So anyway, he's the perfect gentleman. So you're a pure devotee. Don't worry. Your relatives are going to make it. And when you get to the spiritual world, if you're dancing with Krishna or whatever it is because you're a pure devotee and you do go back to the spiritual world before your relatives, don't worry, they'll show up. In time. And time is a real kind of stretchable thing when you're talking about time from the personality of Godhead's point of view. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's beyond the law of physics. So it's a very kind of interesting thing. So, you may go back to Godhead and you'll be there for billions of years and your relatives will show up, billions of years according to the Earth planet, And your relatives will show up, and it'll just be a second after you've gone back to Godhead. Who knows? Anyway, we have to wait till we get there to find out. But the Shastra says that it happens. If you're a pure devotee, 20 generations go back, in front goes back, 20 generations behind go back. So the point is, if you really, really want to fulfill your obligations to your family members, and we all want to do that, the real good you can do for them is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's the real good you can do for them. Every other good you try to do for them is meaningless. Honestly. Okay. All right. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Hope I didn't bore you. Hare Krishna.